That probably is the greatest message without words, because that's the love of Christ. That's what God does for you, every one of you. It's what He's done for your life. He has set you free. Amen? And we're going to look at life over these next few weeks. And there may be particulars as we walk through this series that maybe are going to be similar to your own life. I'm not sure, but I think this morning you should have your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If not, you can take the Pew Bible. But Joshua chapter 1 is right after Deuteronomy. It's in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at living a strong life, because you need strength, just like that teddy bear. You need strength in order to live a free life. And I think that more than ever, most of us really want that strength in our life. When I was thinking about strength, I was thinking about a strong life as strength or courage, just being brave enough to do it. You know, how many of you know what Mighty Mouse? Anybody ever heard of Mighty Mouse before? How many of you want to admit you know of Mighty Mouse? All right. Mighty Mouse, most of us want that figure of being strong and can do anything. We're undefeatable. Like, for instance, this. I mean, here's Mighty Mouse. He's making his way down to the cheese. Many of us want to be like Mighty Mouse and make it to the cheese without getting snapped in two. But my favorite, I think, is this wonderful penguin who has the courage to do it all. That's still my favorite. I can't leave that alone. Boy, those symbols, I tell you. How many of you here really could use a good dose of strength today? I mean, strength. The necessary quality that is required to deal with stressful, painful circumstances. Many of us just want that. And I mean, I do. I mean, do you find your life stressful at all? Because I do. How about painful? Any pain in your life ever entered your life? Anybody ever gone through any kind of pain? Joshua begins with something that just seems to be quite stressful in his life. And so let's jump in. Living a strong life involves, first of all, putting down. I want you to read. Look at these verses. After the death of Moses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, which, by the way, you got to know, the servant of the Lord, those words were reserved for those particular patriarchs, those wonderful saints that God reserves that title for. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. I want you to say, Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Wow. I look at these words and they're really an announcement to the people of God. It's the death notice of Moses. It's the obituary. For 40 years, Moses was the leader in many areas of life. He was the spiritual leader. He solved the domestic stuff, and he was the judicial counsel in a way. He was looked after the military side of things. He was their civic leader. Moses was it. Hi, Mildred. By the way, happy birthday to you. It was 92 on Friday. I tried calling you. I don't know if you saw me on calls, but I just had to say happy birthday to Mildred. She's here. 92 this past week. Wow. And you praise God for that, don't you? Tremendous. Now, where was I? Preaching. Yeah, sorry, Mildred. This is the death. 40 years, Moses was the leader in so many areas of life, but because of Moses' disobedience to the Lord, he was not allowed to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And so another leader needed to be raised up, called Joshua, to continue what had begun with Moses. Now Moses is dead. Let's make it clear. Moses is dead. Have you ever just put your complete trust in another human being? God says, stop it. He points out here, Moses is dead. God is saying, let go. Let me boil it down for you. Quit holding on. See, I get so deep. Put it down. See, if the people were holding on to Moses like they had, God could not take them to the promised land of Joshua. I think that sounds familiar. There are so many things. There's so many circumstances. There's so many events we just hold on to that prevents us from the blessing of God. We can't even make it to the Jordan River, some of us, because we're carrying too much baggage. We're running, we're driving, you know, grab that, grab this, you know. And then we wonder why we don't live a strong life. You begin living a strong life, and believe me, everyone in this room has the ability, has the capability to live strong lives because you all have the same source that Joshua did. That's the Lord your God. And that's what God's saying in this passage. He says, put down what you continue to carry. And, you know, the teddy bear is a prime example of this. I mean, had all the money, had all the riches, had the fame. He had even some kind of a drug to get him through, and he had to put it down because Jesus took it all for him and set him free. Wow, that's freedom. God said, Moses is dead. Moses brought the people out of bondage. Moses wandered around with them in the wilderness for how long? I can't hear you. 40 years! And Moses couldn't take them in. Joshua had to take them in. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. You know, I'm sure, how many of you think that would be wonderful to wander around in the desert for 40 years? Many of you have wandered around in the wilderness. That's long enough. And I think we all do it for a season, yet for a long time we just wander around and doing what feels good to us. What we want to do, the carnal things of life. And then every time we get into trouble, we look for a Moses to rescue us. Help me. Get me out of this. Moses did all the praying for them. Moses told them what they needed. I mean, every time they needed to hear from God, it was Moses who fasted. Got on his face and got the word of the Lord. But God's saying, Moses is dead. If you want to go on with Joshua and you can possess the land. But when Joshua took them in, every person had to do their part. They couldn't rely on Moses anymore to do it for them. Some of you getting this? I'm sorry, did you all leave while I was talking here? You getting it? You see, it's a heart change in God's people that he's looking for. And when you understand that you need Jesus, not Moses, there's a heart change. When you're looking for answers, you don't go running to a person, you don't go running to things or book, except the book. You go running to Jesus. Because it's Jesus who saves. Joshua means Jehovah saves. Moses, great prophet, Bible says, no greater prophet than Moses. Moses had a powerful, terrific ministry, a great patriarch of the Bible, but the people needed to be reminded and told, put down some of the things in order to enter the promised land, in order to be blessed by God, you've got to get rid of some of the stuff you're carrying. You want a strong life? Put down some things. And I don't mean put down people, because we're really good at that. We don't need encouragement there. We do a good job of putting down people. But does God want you to harbor bitterness? You know, put it down. Does God want you to get revenge? Let go of it. Does God want you to get so involved in things that he doesn't have any room to work in your life or work through you? Leave stuff alone. Put down right now what it is you deeply want and let God work it out in his time. Living a strong life involves putting down, but it also involves paying attention. I love this. If you look at this passage, look at verse 3. of Joshua chapter 1. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with you with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Wow. Remember hearing these words when I was in school. Devin, pay attention. I'll repeat it in case you didn't hear. I used to hear this from almost every one of my teachers for some reason. Devin, pay attention. In fact, I had one teacher who had a ruler, a big yardstick. You know what a yardstick is? It's like a meter stick, only it's, you know, a little bit shorter. And, or is it longer? See, shorter? Okay, thanks. See, I didn't pay attention when that was taught. Devin, pay attention! He'd come over and whack on the desk if I wasn't paying attention. Broke a few yardsticks. I kept the yardstick company in business. Cause I don't know if it's just me, and if you heard those words too, but they began to be a staple in my life, because as soon as I get home, and my mom would be serving peas, and she'd say, lift your plate up. You know, I'd be in la-la land. My mom would go, Devin, pay attention! I thought I was back in school again. I mean, you know. I always thought this was something that adults were meant to say to children. Funny, though, how it never happened to my older brother. I never could figure that out. But those words are still clear for me. Pay attention. I think we need to pay attention. God, if you want, you got to notice God. See what God is doing in your midst. Too often we just mill about our day and may call on God when we need to get rescued. See? We get desperate. We just go, God, I need help. And then we wonder why God is so distant to us. Listen, I will be with you, God says. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Now tell me, is that a loving God? It is a loving God. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you, God says. Friends may leave you. You may have a relationship right now that you're walking through this difficult. Loved ones leave us. They pass away. God says, pay attention. I'm right here with you. You may be wandering in the wilderness. You may be searching through all other things to get by. But God says, I'm not going to say anything. When you're hurting, God says, when someone hurts you, when they disgust you, when someone clearly dislikes you, God says, some of you are getting this. If you want to live a strong life, you have got to, you got it. Because God is with you. You got to pay attention. Be strong, courageous, to live a life God loves you to live. I mean, God gave us these commands. It's a book for easy living. And really, that's what this is. It's just an easy book for you to look at and learn from and live. God says, I've given you this, but you've got to go. You've got to take it. You've got to dump some things off. Let go of it. Pay attention to what I'm telling you, because I got an incredible life ready for you. How many of you believe God's got an incredible life for you? It's all laid out. It is. My voice can't get any higher. It's interesting, once the Israelites made a decision to go in and get the land, you're going to love this. They made a decision to go in and get the land. They were at war for 14 years. Isn't that great? So encouraging. God gives a blessing, takes you 14 years to get there. But you have to battle to get there. As soon as I say that, I know that the response is often, well, I don't want anything to do with that. I'd rather put up with being tied up with the money and the fame and all that, you know? It's time. It's time to let the ropes be untied from your life. It's time to pay attention to the one who comes and says, stop! It's time. See, anybody that is really going to do anything for God has got to understand something. You're always going to be confronting the enemy. You're going to have to confront the enemy in your own life. Enemies in your own soul, and that would try to keep you from going forward. You're going to be facing some difficult stuff. It doesn't mean we spend all our time running around screaming at demons. Don't get that. It doesn't mean we don't enjoy life. That means we have to have an attitude of knowing who we are, not backing down, and thinking that everything's just going to be easy. Because people worship money, they worship things, they worship position, they worship power. There's greed, there's lust, there's all the various things that are going to go on that are taking people's attention away. And God says, pay attention, or you will fall into this. You need to know, God says, that I'm with you all the time. God says, I am rooting for you. I'm your cheering section. God says, I want you to enjoy life. I want you to have a strong life. And you know, we end up in the wilderness so much wandering around with the thought, well, it's what I think, it's what I want, it's what I feel. Too many of us are wanderers. We wander around in the vanity of our own minds, in our own wills and in our own emotions, doing what we think, what we want, what we feel. God is looking for a people that are ready to leave all that to cross the Jordan. Because you see, you cross the Jordan, you've got to make a decision to cross it. It's time to pay attention. I want you to, just for a moment, I just want you to think. For a moment. I told you think too much. But I want you to think. Just take an idea that you have. Maybe it's an idea that you just, in your, right now. Maybe you have an idea about what you think should happen, or what you think about the church. Maybe it's what you think about your personal life. You may be thinking about it for a while, but just right now, just put that thought there. Just think about it for a moment. Then you ask yourself, is this God's? Or is it my agenda? Is this really God's? Or is this just mine? See, that's why it's so important to pay attention. Living a strong life involves putting down. It also involves paying attention, but it also involves preparation. Prepare. Get ready. Plan. Make ready. I can tell you that when you start putting down things in your life that are preventing you from living a strong life, when you put down the bitterness and forgive, I mean really forgive, not the superficial stuff that religious nuts are great talking about but never doing, forgiving. When you put down the selfish intent and trust, and I mean really trust God, not just a facade of pretending to trust God and the picking up our own stuff again and again. When you put down your stuff, you need to pay attention who's right there watching over you and providing safety for you. And then you better prepare, because then you'll enter into battle. And I think, you know, I really think that the battle for the mind is the greatest battle ever. I mean, I think of the, you know, the wars that are physically fought, they're all because a battle in the mind rages first. You need to be prepared for that battle. And I know of no better, more successful way to prepare than what's spoken of here. Look at these verses. Verse 8, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law, that is the Bible, my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Wow. Anybody want to be successful? Anybody want to prosper in these dark economic times? It's right there. Obey the word of God. That's it. You see, and I love this, because when you go to battle with God, you never have to worry about being outnumbered. But you need to be prepared. If you want the blessing of God, you've got to be prepared. You have to be prepared and equipped to possess the land. Now, I have to talk about this for a brief moment. This is a desert survival situation that in a seminar that I was at, we did. And we had to be in groups of six, and we had to, here it is. This is the situation we were given. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, mid-August. You've just crash-landed in the Sonora Desert in the southwest United States. Light twin-engine plane containing the bodies of the pilot, co-pilots completely burned. Only the airframe remains. The rest of you are uninjured. Okay? And then there's a list of stuff that you have with you. You have to put these in order of priority. But first you have to decide, are we going to stay or are we going to go? I killed all six of our team. We wandered in the desert. And, you know, it was funny because the rest of the team were all like, well, we should really stay at the plane because they probably know we're kind of like, they'll look for us approximately. And I said, no! We got to get out there. You know, it's close to safety because, listen there, you got another 100 miles to walk, you can be in another, you know, we can do this, guys. We can do it. I killed them all. Every single one. I mean, we prioritized the stuff, but, you know, it didn't mean anything because I put them all in the wrong order because I was prioritizing going instead of staying. I killed every one of them. We wandered in the desert, and I killed them. I mean, not physically, no, please. On the internet, I didn't kill anyone. I'm not a murderer. But in this exercise, but it said something to me. In the simulation, I was going, what about me? What about me? You see, if all we have on our mind is us and our blessing, we're not ready to do much for God anyway. Do you know when God tells us to do something and we do our version of it? As far as God is concerned, we didn't believe what he said to begin with. Many times, we're just wandering around in the wilderness, growing up, trying to learn how to obey God, learning how important it is to obey God. How many times when we're doing that, do we do our own version of what God said instead of what God said? Well, I thought. We do think too much. This year, I believe, this is going to be a great year. It already is, and this is a year that I know already is economically difficult, and God is just watching. I mean, he is. He's watching. Those who place their trust in this, God's got it under control. But we need something firm to trust in. This past week, I'm going to grab this mic. This past week, I had a visitor in my office on Friday. I got to tell you a story. On Thursday, actually Friday morning, I woke up in the morning and said, God, you just need to rise up somebody who just needs to speak something to on Sunday. And Shirley came in my office on Friday morning, and she said, here's something. And I went, you got to talk about it on Sunday morning. So here's a revelation from the Lord. Shirley, I'm going to put you on the spot. Sorry about that.
Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he usually does this, but all of a sudden, he said, you need to go and talk to Devin. You need to tell him that these Psalm 23, he says, I would want you, all the people who are going through a rough time, who is struggling, who is worried about their jobs, their finances, any hurts you have, their marriage, their health. He said, I ask that you pray Psalm 23 over your family every day. Pay close attention to what my words are saying to you. Draw strength from them because they are nourishment to your body.
Thank you. Let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Do you see it? Do you see you have no reason to be in want? Do you see that you will try your best to find your source in all these other things, but God will pursue you all the days of your life? He will pursue you. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about love, but those words that were given to Shirley, I think, are timely words. Amen? In order to prepare, we need something firm to stand in, and there's nothing else to worship but God. God is it. Anyone can give up. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But to hold it together when everyone else would understand if you fell apart, that's true strength. When God comes along and he changes your thinking, very often instead of doing exactly what God says, we do what we feel like or what's easy for our flesh, and the result is we continue to wander around the wilderness, always in need of a Moses to get us out of trouble. So God calls on this heart thing, this heart change. That's what he's looking for in his people. To have a people that will be quick to obey him, prompt to listen to him. Not as slow of heart to believe, but quick to believe. Thou shalt not be in want. I don't need anything except the giver of everything. And that's the secret to living a strong life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to just for a moment, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask, maybe God is dealing with you right now about some change that he wants to do in your life. And maybe he's dealing with you about laying some things down or picking some things up, because some things we need to pick up in order to live a victorious life. And maybe there's some stuff, though, that you just need to let go. And let go. Just like that teddy bear. Just let go. I mean, he came forward and gave it all to the altar. Let Jesus take it. Too often we want to be where we want to be, not where God needs us to be. And God's wanted a people with the heart of Joshua that will lay down whatever God wants laid down, and take up whatever God says to take up, and do what he says to do with boldness, knowing that God says for you to do it, and that he will be with you through it. And then you live a strong life. Pastor Jeremy's going to play, and as he does, his song is, I Cast All My Cares Upon You. And just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and I want us to sing. I mean, I think it's familiar enough to us that we sing it with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, and sing it from your heart, I cast all my cares upon you, because that really is what it is. Sing it in your heart, just carefully saying, God, I cast all my cares upon you. I give this to you, God. I give you my hurt, my pain. I give you my job. Surely point out job. The Lord spoke to her, Psalm 23. I don't need to be in want, God. She's right. But I cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet. And any time that I don't know what to do, I'll just cast my cares upon you. So while your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, sing that to him. We're going to sing it through one time just now. Sing it to him. Keep your eyes closed. I cast all my cares.
All my cares upon you.
I lay all my burdens.
I lay all of my burdens
down at your feet.
Down at your feet.
And any time that I don't know
that I don't know
what to do,
what to do,
I will cast all my cares
upon you.
Thank you. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want you to stand, please. Would you stand up? Now, if you're willing to say, God, that's my prayer this morning. I'm going to cast my cares. I'm going to give it up, my burdens, because I can't handle this anymore, God. You know, just like you had to cross into the Jordan, the Israelites had to cross that Jordan and to get in the promised land. I'm going to ask you to make a step today. If you want to give it up today and say, I can't do this anymore, God, I cast all my burdens before, just come and stand at the front. Just come stand at the front. Make your way while this is being played. Eyes are closed. You can just make your way and stand up front here and cast your burden upon Him. Just like the teddy bear left the crown and the money, maybe you need to come and leave something here at the altar. I cast it before you, God. Just come forward. Just make your way. Just make your way forward. I cast my cares upon you, God. Just make your way. Come before Him. We're going to take some time. Just make your way. If you're kind of in the pew there and you want to make your way through, I'm sure the person beside you will let you by. So just make your way. Come forward. God, I cast my care upon you. Don't hold back. Make the step. Go cross that Jordan River. This is a huge step of faith you're making. I'm laying it before you, God. I'm laying it before you. Just make your way forward. Make your way forward. Don't stop. Maybe there's a lot of you just standing there and just unsure. That's okay. You can still give it to Him right where you're sitting, right where you're standing. Say, God, I'm standing for you. Standing for you. Father, we've sung that song, Cast All My Cares Upon You. And Lord, that's almost a difficult song to sing because we all have cares. Lord, there are times where we don't even know what to do with our burden. And Lord, it could be something that's tying us up like money or fame or, God, maybe even religion. Maybe religion's tying us up, God, preventing us from seeing you better. Lord, we know we have no need in this life except you. We don't need to be in want. God, you're everything. Lord, as these people have just, they're kneeling here, some of them are standing here. God, we're standing as a people and saying, all we need is you. All we need is you. God, all we need is you. And we give every care, every concern, every burden to you. It's yours, God. Untie us so that we may live a strong life. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. God loves you. God loves you. You can make your way back. God loves you. Let's sing that to Him.